Kant, welcome to the podcast. It's nice to have you today. How are you doing today morning?
Great, Kaizad. It cannot start better than by being in a podcast with you.
Thank you. Thank you. Likewise. Okay. So, let me start by asking you about the rising popularity of international investments. You know, in the last 3 years, I mean, you know that mutual funds investing domestically have been around for donkey's years. International investing, also funds investing abroad, have been around for quite some time. But, you know, the kind of wave that we've seen among Indians wanting to invest abroad, the rage, you know, has been unprecedented in the last 3 years. So what do you think has driven Indians to invest abroad? Has it got to do anything to do with COVID? Or is it just that, you know, investment opportunities have come up? Or is there any other reason that you can attribute this phenomenon to?
Yeah, that's a good question, Kaizad. I think there are multiple reasons for this happening. One of them is awareness that there's a whole other world of businesses out there which one can buy. And we have been seeing how these good businesses have been growing in their market cap rapidly. Many of the frontier companies like, say, an Apple or a Google, Alphabet, et cetera, they've been growing multiply. As we get to know about it, we wonder whether we can also partake of that growth. A few years back, we could have only wondered and sat back and done nothing. But now we have the ability to partake of that growth. We have mutual funds in India, which are feeder funds, which you can buy and participate in that growth. And also the platforms which are available for you to transfer rupees to dollars through the liberalized remittance scheme of RBI. And then you can buy stocks and ETFs as you wish through these platforms. These mechanisms were not available to us earlier. Now the awareness is there, the mechanisms are there, so we are able to participate. So to top all this, along with the availability of the mechanism, you've had a fabulous bull run in the last decade in the US market. That has caught everybody's eye. Whether the fad or trend is in India or abroad, it doesn't matter. A fad is a fad and people want to jump into the bandwagon. So you had a confluence of these events of a fabulous bull run and the ability to participate in it, which made people jump into international investing. This is my take, Kaizad.
So when you're talking about international investing, Shrikant, the basic question, we normally talk about Apple, Google, Facebook, you know, in terms of US listed companies. But, you know, in the past few years, also other options have also cropped up. Europe has cropped up, for instance. I mean, they've been around, Europe funds have been around for some time, but now more and more funds have been, the basket has grown. Then you have country specific funds also. So for instance, China funds have become very popular in the past few years. So from an investor's point of view, do we really have the bandwidth to explore outside US, or you think it is safe for people to stick to US-based companies and US-based markets?
This comes to the very reason why you want to be investing outside India for an Indian. So number one, you have to be committed to the cause of diversification and not for making extra money. And if you're committed to the cause of diversification, you should be looking at all geographies. Why only the USA? There are good businesses across the world. Europe has some great businesses. Asia has some great businesses. America definitely has a lot of great businesses. And one should be able to invest in all these. So a lay investor does not have the bandwidth to examine which is a good geography, which is a good economy, which is a good business. I mean, come on, experts in India do not have the bandwidth to examine the entire 4,000 companies we have in India. How are we going to examine the thousands of companies abroad? So I think it's good to go with a diversification motive and invest across geographies. Look for an ETF which can give you a spread of companies across the world. And that should serve the purpose of diversification well.
So what I'm saying is that you said two things. You said, you know, we should have a mindset of diversification rather than, you know, returns when we are investing abroad. So that that is, I think, a very important point that you have highlighted, you know, that you, why are you going and why are you investing abroad? You're investing because you want to diversify. You want to invest something that doesn't necessarily move in line with what the Indian markets are. So that if one market is up, the other market is down and vice versa. The other thing you also mentioned is ETFs. So, you know, active funds or passive funds, I mean, now you have, you know, you have a fair mix of both the funds. I mean, I'm not talking about the present, what do you call that, imbroglio, present roadblock that is there about investing abroad, because the limits are there and we all believe that it's temporarily, sooner or later these limits would be enhanced. But I'm thinking that, you know, you have a fair bunch of active funds, you have a fair bunch of passive funds, and now you have a growing platform where you can invest directly in stocks through the GIFT Cities and all. So active versus passive, what's your recommendation for the retail investor? What's your recommendation even for the rich investor who have also a fairly well-diversified existing portfolio and now he or she wants to look for something else? So tell us, for both these investors, what would you recommend?
It's not a difficult answer, Kesant. I would go for passive investing. Whenever you're going into a territory where do you not have adequate knowledge, you should go for index investing and average it out. They're very simple. If you have the ability to research out companies, then you can go in for individual stocks and buy them. So there would be quite a few people who have a fancy for some companies and they would like to own them. So go ahead and own them. I mean, satisfy that urge. Just ensure that it's a smaller component of your portfolio. And even if you made a mistake with your gut instinct or your rudimentary research, your portfolio or wealth will really not be set back by that mistake. So I think one should go ahead, try it out, and learn out of it. Otherwise, for the bulk of the portfolio, it should be passive index investing when you're going into territories where you do not have knowledge.
Okay, okay.
You will also observe that the reverse happens. When foreign institutional investors invest in India, they are mostly buying index.
Yes, that's true.
It's all ETF flows. Yes,
that's a good.
They don't know India well, so they buy the index. And the reverse should hold true for us.
Okay, okay. So Shrikant, you know, because of the rising popularity, there are, you know, today, of course, you have a lot of fresh investors, a lot of new investors also coming in. And, you know, when they are coming in, you know, they are being peddled a fair bunch of Indian schemes, naturally, and a fair bunch of international schemes also in the first, in that first corpus that they have to invest itself. Okay. Would you also recommend an international fund to be among the first funds that one should buy, or should we build a decent, sizable domestic portfolio first and then later on add positions of like buy international funds for diversification?
I would tend to do that as an advisor. First, get the investor into something that is familiar. A first-time investor would get into first domestic investments. And then as the familiarity and maturity is there, we introduce them to foreign investments or international investments through the index investing route.
Okay, okay. Tell us, what are your favorite themes, or what are your favorite countries or regions or geographies for international investing? What are you recommending to your investors now?
Yeah. So one thing is I would prefer to be diversified globally. Okay. And how do you allocate is a question. One formula we can use is to see which are the, go by the proportion of the market caps of various countries, or the size of the economies of various countries, and accordingly allocate that 10, 15 rupees of your portfolio to international in the same way. So okay, if the US stock market is going to be 60% of global market cap, then 60% of your international portfolio goes to the US.
And all this data, all this data is available. All this data is available for you to analyze.
One does not have to go far to look for it. You can Google it out. Or you can also look at the MSCI All Country World Index.
Okay.
So if you follow the All Country World Index, you get all this data.
I see. Okay. Okay.
It's simple. It's a no-brainer, actually.
Okay. So what are your favorite sectors these days? What are you looking at?
One of my favorite inclusions in any international portfolio is the top 100 companies. global top 100.
Global top
100. That gives me the best. Yes, that gives me the best companies across the world.
So you have an index fund, you have an ETF that would give you this kind
there's
of an exposure.
ETF. Yes, there's an ETF which follows, which gives this. Okay. So that is best. Otherwise, it is the S&P 500 of the US.
Do you like country-specific exposures, or is it safe for investors to basically be diversified in one or two funds, and that's about it?
Yeah. I think for lay investors, it is good to be diversified across geographies. For larger portfolios, high net worth individuals, where there's a willingness to take specific risk, then you can say, take specific calls that this area is looking undervalued, this area growth prospects are looking good, and you can go overweight on those regions. There may be an argument that emerging market valuations are lower than historical lows, and hence, I would want to invest more in emerging markets. As an example, okay, I'm not recommending it. I'm saying there's an example, this is a way. Or you may say that Europe is going through such economic turmoil. Maybe I want to be underweight on Europe. You could take such calls if you are working with an aware investor.
Okay.
With every call you take, there's a risk of one being wrong.
Okay.
Which is why the foundation should be a diversified structure.
Okay. So which is what I wanted to also ask you, that, you know, most of us, we focus mostly on investing in international funds when we talk about, generally when we talk about investing in a, you know, many of us are not so attuned to the concept of selling the funds also. Of course, when you need the money in an emergency, you will sell your family jewels. But otherwise, you know, what are the telltale signs that you should see, that you should look out for, when that should tell you when to sell your international funds? Because here you're dealing with markets abroad, you're dealing with foreign geographies. You don't know what's impacting really their geographies on a day-to-day basis, right? And how they would impact your holdings. So what are the telltale signs that you would watch out for if you were to sell your international funds?
If one is in a globally well-diversified fund, the rule is the same as for a domestic fund. Sell when you need the money.
Okay.
It is only that when you're taking specific sector risk, now one can get easily carried away. The range of thematic funds that you have available internationally is mouthwatering. Okay. So it's very difficult not to get carried away by these themes. But if you are invested in these themes, you have to follow the sector, its progress, its valuations, and what bubbles may be arising in them, and exit as and when necessary based on the fundamentals. Okay. That is sector wise. Country wise also risks may be there. We have seen what has been happening to China last couple of years. Okay. So one has to keep close track and figure out that, hey, this country is not going to be transparent. I can't figure out what's happening in its economy, in its politics. And it is riskier to be invested than not. And exit.
Okay.
So you need to make a judgment. You need to make a critical assessment of each sector, of each country, and then take a call, which is not easy.
So in a diversified fund, you're saying that only when you need the money, you sell, because you know, the funds would anyways juggle between countries and themes on their own, depending on their analysis. But if you're really you know, stuck with one theme or one country, then you need to be a little bit more watchful. You need to be a little bit more active in monitoring, you know, how the dynamics of that country or how the dynamics of that sector works. Shrikant, last question I wanted to ask you, you know, what are the biggest mistakes that people can make when investing abroad?
I've mentioned one, getting carried away by themes and sectors. Okay. That is one mistake. Second is to understand what diversification does for you. When you're diversified, it also means that you're going to have uncorrelated investments. What does non-correlation mean? It means that the other market is behaving differently from your home market. Sometimes it may work in your favor, sometimes it may not work in your favor, but that is what diversification and non-correlation are all about. So today the Indian market is doing well and the global markets are not doing well. So they're uncorrelated. Portfolio-wise, you're diversified, which is what you wanted in the first place. So at this point of time, one should not say that global investment is a bad idea. You went in with the idea of diversification. You went with the idea of having an uncorrelated set of investments. You should proceed with that discipline and not say it's a bad idea at this point of time. at some other point of time, say a year down the line, it'll again become a good idea after the markets have risen. So always stick to the discipline of asset allocation, not call it at this point of time.
Okay, Srikanth, last, any words of wisdom for our investors who are looking to invest abroad? It's a very popular destination for investments these days. What is the final advice that you would like to leave with the investor or our listeners?
Well, diversification is a mantra. Stick to it. All right. And you will find an active funds very style specific. So they work in certain cycles. They don't work in certain cycles. Okay. Active internationally managed funds, you'll find growth funds, you'll find value funds, very distinct in their nature. So one has to understand that sometimes they work, sometimes they don't work. Growth funds are not working now. Value funds are working now. The last 10 years, it was growth funds that were working and not value funds. So better to be in an index or a well-diversified fund if you do not understand how these cycles work. And then to be disappointed about it.
Cool. Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. Srikanth, thank you so much for joining. Lovely talking to you as always. And thank you so much for your insights and your views about international investing. I'm sure it will really help our listeners to better understand their international funds portfolios, and if not, then know where to invest going forward. So thanks so much for joining us.
Most welcome. It's been a pleasure to share my views, Kaisal.